Welcome back to the Mbago Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving deep into a topic that's been creating quite a buzz, the Great Real Estate Freeze, understanding the historic low turnover rate.
It's a fascinating title, and honestly, a bit concerning for anyone involved in real estate. We're seeing numbers that haven't been this low since the early to mid-1990s. A turnover rate of just 2.8% is truly historic.
Exactly. So, for our listeners who might not be steeped in real estate jargon, let's break down what turnover rate actually means. In simple terms, it's the percentage of the total housing stock that gets sold in a given year. Think of it as how much of the country's real estate pie is changing hands annually.
Right, so a 2.8% rate means that out of every 100 homes, fewer than 3 are sold in a year. That's a dramatic slowdown compared to what we'd consider a more typical or healthy market, which usually hovers between 5% and 7%, sometimes even higher depending on the region.
It's a number that definitely triggers surprise and concern. When activity grinds to a halt like this, it signals a market that's not just cooling, it's practically frozen solid. And as we'll explore, it's not due to one single factor, but a complex interplay of economic forces and buyer/seller psychology.
It really is a stalemate. Both buyers and sellers seem to be on the sidelines, waiting. The central question we need to tackle is, what are the underlying forces creating this unprecedented freeze? The article points out that the most significant factor keeping the market in this state of inertia stems from the seller's perspective.
And that leads us directly into our first major point, the lock-in effect. This is a phenomenon that's essentially trapping homeowners, particularly those who secured their mortgages at the incredibly low interest rates we saw over the past few years. Imagine someone who bought a house 5 years ago with a 3% mortgage.
Now, if they want to sell that home and buy a comparable one today, they're likely facing mortgage rates in the 6% to 7% range, or even higher. Let's put some numbers to that to really drive it home. For a $400,000 mortgage, a 3% rate means a principal and interest payment of about $1,690 per month.
But if that same person needed to borrow $400,000 today at a 7% rate, their monthly payment would skyrocket to around $2,660. That's nearly $1,000 more per month, just to finance the exact same amount of debt.
That's not just a minor inconvenience, it's a massive financial disincentive. Homeowners are acutely aware of the advantage they have with those low-interest loans. The idea of voluntarily giving that up to take on a substantially higher monthly payment, even for a similar or slightly better home, is incredibly unappealing.
It's like holding onto a golden ticket and choosing to discard it. The psychological impact of this is huge. It creates this powerful sense of financial inertia. Why would anyone willingly increase their largest monthly expense by 50% or more if they absolutely don't have to?
The direct consequence of this lock-in effect is a dramatic reduction in the supply of homes hitting the market. If fewer people are selling, then there are simply fewer homes available for purchase. This scarcity of inventory is a critical piece of the current market freeze.
And it goes beyond those who might be forced to move for job relocations or major life changes. Many potential sellers who could technically move are now deciding to hold on to their properties. They're opting to stay put, even if their current home isn't perfect, because it's financially much smarter than selling and buying into this high-rate environment.
This directly impacts the housing stock available for growing families who need more space, individuals looking to downsize, or anyone whose life circumstances necessitate a change in residence. So, we're left with a situation where the very people who might want or need to sell are staying put, primarily to protect their advantageous mortgage terms.
But it's not just about sellers' hesitations. Buyers are facing their own set of daunting challenges that are contributing to this standstill. The primary hurdle for most potential home buyers today is the sheer unaffordability of housing.
Absolutely. It's not just high prices anymore. It's a brutal combination of elevated home values and those significantly higher borrowing costs. When you combine the lingering effects of that red-hot seller's market from a few years ago with the surge in mortgage rates, you create a formidable barrier for entry.
For many, the dream of homeownership is becoming increasingly out of reach. And let's not forget the impact of inflation on everyday life. Over the past couple of years, the cost of groceries, gas, and utilities has risen sharply, which directly erodes household budgets.
That means less money is available for saving up a down payment, which is a crucial step for any homebuyer. Potential buyers might have been diligently saving, but the rising cost of living means their savings are growing slower, while home prices and financing costs are increasing at a pace that outstrips their ability to accumulate capital.
Then there's the pervasive cloud of economic uncertainty. Lingering concerns about job security, the potential for a recession, or just the general unpredictability of the global economy make many individuals and families hesitant to commit to a large, long-term debt like a mortgage.
Taking on such a significant financial obligation requires a certain level of confidence in your future financial stability. When that confidence is shaken, the natural reaction is to adopt a wait-and-see attitude. Buyers are holding off, hoping for either a substantial drop in home prices or a significant decrease in mortgage interest rates.
This creates a peculiar dynamic, especially for different demographics. First-time homebuyers, who often have smaller down payments and less established financial footing, are particularly vulnerable. They face the dual challenge of saving enough for a down payment and qualifying for a mortgage at rates that feel astronomically high.
Move-up buyers, while potentially having equity in their current homes, are still subject to the same affordability crunch when purchasing their next property. And of course, they're also grappling with the seller's lock-in effect if they aren't forced to sell. It's like being a shopper at a high-end boutique with a very limited budget.
You can admire the merchandise, but the price tags combined with the cost of acquiring the funds make the purchase unjustifiable right now. This hesitation on the buyer's side, coupled with the reluctance on the seller's side, leads us to a very specific and rather stagnant market equilibrium.
Exactly. We have hesitant sellers due to the mortgage rate lock-in, and cautious buyers dealing with affordability and economic uncertainty. When you put these two forces together, you get a unique market equilibrium, one that's characterized by inertia rather than vibrant activity. This imbalance, where low inventory meets subdued demand, fundamentally prevents the kind of rapid price declines we might expect in a more balanced market.
Sellers aren't desperate to offload their properties because they have little incentive to move, and buyers are either priced out or unwilling to jump in. This creates a situation where even though transaction volumes are low, hence that historic 2.8% turnover rate, prices don't necessarily plummet.
And the reason prices hold steady, or even increase slightly in some areas, is because the scarcity of homes available for sale acts as a floor. Even with fewer buyers competing, the limited supply means that if a home does come on the market and is reasonably priced, it can still find a buyer. It's a rather unpleasant equilibrium, isn't it?
It's not a healthy, dynamic market where homes are efficiently bought and sold to meet people's needs. Instead, it's a market characterized by a lack of movement, a sort of frozen pond where the surface is still, even if there's a lot going on beneath.
The impact of this imbalance can also vary across different market segments. The luxury market, for instance, is often less sensitive to interest rate fluctuations and more driven by wealth. It might behave differently than the entry-level market, which is highly susceptible to affordability constraints.
And we also have to consider institutional investors. They've been significant players in the housing market. Are they exacerbating this imbalance by snapping up the few available properties, or are they also adopting a more cautious stance? This leads us to ponder, what happens when this equilibrium eventually gets disrupted?
It's a question with implications far beyond individual buyers and sellers. It affects the broader economy. The ripple effects of a housing market essentially in hibernation extend much further than just the transaction itself. Think about the vast ecosystem of industries that rely on real estate activity.
When fewer homes are sold, fewer renovations and home improvement projects are undertaken. That impacts contractors, material suppliers, designers, and everyone involved in the home services sector. Real estate agents, inspectors, appraisers, mortgage brokers, title companies, all these service providers see their business dwindle.
The furniture and home goods sectors also feel the pinch, as people aren't moving into new spaces that need furnishing. Even moving companies experience a slowdown. It's a significant drag on overall economic activity, creating a domino effect.
Beyond these direct impacts, a stagnant housing market can also affect consumer confidence and overall spending. When people feel less secure about their primary asset, their home, or when they perceive the market as stagnant or potentially declining, they tend to become more conservative with their discretionary spending.
This can have a broad impact on retail, hospitality, and other consumer-facing businesses. On a social level, the implications are also quite significant. Delayed life events become more common. Families might postpone having children because they're stuck in a home that's too small or in a location that's no longer ideal.
Individuals might delay relocating for job opportunities because selling their current home is too financially punitive. There's also a potential for increased housing insecurity if the economic conditions that led to this market freeze were to worsen. If job losses increase and people can't sell their homes, we could see a rise in housing-related stress.
And let's not forget local governments. They rely heavily on property taxes for revenue. A slowdown in transactions and potentially stagnant or declining property values can significantly impact municipal budgets, affecting public services like schools and infrastructure.
Then there's the specter of a lost generation of potential homeowners. Those who, due to current market conditions, may find it increasingly difficult to enter the housing market and build equity. This could impact their long-term financial well-being and wealth accumulation. It really raises a critical question: is this prolonged period of low turnover just a temporary pause, or does it signal a more fundamental, long-term shift?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Navigating this current real estate stalemate requires a clear understanding of potential future scenarios and strategic thinking for both buyers and sellers. Looking ahead, there are several pathways this market could take.
One likely scenario is a gradual normalization of interest rates. If the Federal Reserve continues to lower rates slowly over time, it could begin to alleviate that lock-in effect for sellers, making it more palatable for them to list their homes. This would gradually increase inventory and potentially stabilize prices.
Another scenario, perhaps a more disruptive one, is a significant economic downturn. A recession could force some individuals to sell their homes out of necessity due to job loss or financial hardship. This could lead to increased inventory and downward pressure on prices, creating new opportunities for buyers.
However, that scenario also carries the risk of increased foreclosures and broader economic instability, which no one wants to see. Policy interventions are also a possibility. Governments could explore measures to mitigate the lock-in effect, perhaps through mortgage rate buy-down programs or incentives for trading up.
They could also focus on boosting affordability through initiatives like down payment assistance programs or by encouraging the construction of more affordable housing. For sellers currently in this market, the strategy needs to shift from simply listing a home and expecting a bidding war.
They really need to focus on unique selling propositions. This might involve making significant upgrades, offering creative financing options like seller-paid mortgage rate buy-downs, or even accepting a slightly lower price in exchange for a quicker, more certain sale. It's about making their property stand out in a less forgiving market.
For buyers, the approach requires adaptability and patience. Exploring different financing options, such as adjustable-rate mortgages or considering co-buying with family or friends, could be viable. They might also need to broaden their search to less desirable locations or consider properties that require some renovation.
Ultimately, a crucial aspect of navigating this market is managing expectations and focusing on individual financial goals rather than trying to perfectly time the market. Speculating on when prices will bottom or rates will drop is a risky game.
For most people, real estate is a long-term investment, and their personal circumstances should drive their decisions more than trying to outsmart the market. The current low turnover rate is a clear symptom of complex economic pressures, high rates, affordability challenges, and lingering uncertainty.
It demands patience, strategic thinking, and a realistic assessment of personal finances from everyone involved. And remember, this content is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be taken as financial advice. Always consult a licensed advisor before making investment decisions.
Now, let's move into the summary table to really crystallize these points. We've covered the low turnover rate itself, which at 2.8% indicates market stability for those staying put but severely restricts supply for buyers.
Then we discussed the mortgage rate lock-in effect. The strength here is that homeowners with low rates are financially incentivized to stay, providing them security. The challenge, of course, is that it dramatically reduces available homes for sale, hindering market liquidity.
Following that, buyer affordability challenges. The insight is that buyers who can secure financing might find opportunities with less competition. The major challenge is that high prices and rates make homeownership inaccessible for many, especially first-time buyers, with inflation further eroding purchasing power.
We also touched on economic uncertainty. The insight here is that uncertainty can lead to more cautious decision-making, potentially benefiting buyers who prioritize long-term stability. The challenge is that fears about job security and recession further suppress demand and market activity.
And finally, the market equilibrium and ripple effects. The strength is that the current balance prevents drastic price drops, and related industries can adapt. However, the significant challenge is the impact on ancillary industries, reduced consumer confidence, delayed life events, strained municipal budgets, and the potential for a lost generation of homeowners.
That brings us to our conclusion, a market in waiting. The central question remains whether this low activity is temporary or a sign of a permanent shift. As inflation cools and interest rates potentially stabilize or decline, some of the lock-in effect might diminish, bringing more inventory to market.
But we also can't discount the possibility that buyer behavior and expectations have fundamentally changed. If the cost of entry remains prohibitively high and economic uncertainty persists, we might see a longer-term recalibration, with a greater emphasis on affordability and a slower pace of transactions becoming the new normal.
Demographic shifts are also key. Millennials are in their prime home buying years, but many are facing these affordability hurdles, delaying milestones. If this generation struggles to gain a foothold, it could have profound long-term implications for wealth accumulation and economic mobility.
The role of investors also remains a critical variable. While some may pull back, others might see opportunities in a market with lower turnover, potentially acquiring properties at more favorable terms. Their actions can significantly influence inventory levels and pricing.
Ultimately, predicting the exact trajectory is complex. What's clear is that the current low turnover rate is a symptom of deeper economic currents and evolving consumer behavior. It highlights a market in a delicate balance, where the desire to transact is tempered by significant financial and psychological barriers.
For those looking to buy or sell, patience, adaptability, and a clear understanding of personal financial goals will be paramount. Trying to time the market perfectly in such an environment is a risky endeavor. Focusing on strategic planning and realistic expectations is the most prudent approach.
The market may be frozen now, but like a pond in winter, there's always the potential for thaw. Understanding the forces at play will be the key to navigating whatever comes next. That wraps up our deep dive into the great real estate freeze.
Thanks for joining us on Baga Media, Finance. We'll be back next time with more insights into the world of finance.